Let's stand together. We're going to begin reading at verse 14, John chapter 3, verse 14. Page 864. John chapter 3, beginning of verse 14, let's read God's word together. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God bless you. Thank you so much. You know, false teaching has always been an area of conflict in the church. It's nothing new. It is something we still struggle with today, but it has been part of the church since almost the inception and birth of the church. One of the false teachings that arose in the church in the early life of the church was the teaching called Arianism. Arius was a bishop in the church in Alexandria, Egypt, and he began to teach a false teaching that said Jesus was a created being rather than the Son of God. And as such, he was not co-eternal with God, nor was he consubstantial with God. In other words, Jesus was not from the beginning as God was, and Jesus, because he was created, was not of the substance of God. He was human rather than divine. Well, the church began believed that they had to deal with this false teaching. And so in 325, they held a council in Nicaea, and out of that came the Nicene Creed that we read this morning. The Nicene Creed, the Council of Nicaea, was focusing primarily on presenting the church an answer to this false teaching that Jesus was not the Son of God. Notice what it said about Jesus, and we read it this morning. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one in being with the Father. Through him all things were made. What did John mean when he wrote these words of Jesus? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What does it mean for us to say that Jesus is the only begotten Son of the Father? Well, by being begotten, the church was saying, and we believe today, that Jesus was not created by God. He is of God. He is God himself. The Greek term, you're getting all kinds of stuff today. You're getting Bible history and church history and now a little bit of Greek. The Greek term that is used for begotten is the term monogenes, and it has two meanings. The first one is this. It means being the only one of his kind within a specific relationship. In other words, the church was saying that all of us are sons and daughters of God, but there is only one begotten Son of God. We are sons and daughters of God because of the death of Christ on the cross. We were not created as begotten sons and daughters of God. We were born in sin, and even though we were made sons of God, we were not created as sons of God. The writer of Hebrews said this about Abraham and Isaac in Hebrews 11:17. By faith, Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises was ready to offer up his only son. Now we know that Isaac was not the only son of Abraham. We know from the Bible that Esau was born before Isaac. That Ishmael was born before, in fact, Esau was born before Isaac as well, but that Ishmael was born before Isaac, and Ishmael was the son of Abraham. We know that after Sarah's death, Abraham remarried and had six more sons, that Isaac was not the only son as far as birth, but as far as God was concerned, Isaac was the only son because he was the son of the relationship. He was the son of the promise. He was the son of whom God said to Abram and to Sarai when they yet had no children, "You will have a seed that will come from you, and it will be with that seed that I will establish my covenant." So although Isaac was not the only son of Abraham, as far as Abraham's relationship with God, God considered Isaac to be the son of the promise. So it is with Jesus. We are all sons and daughters of God because of the cross. But there is only one begotten Son of God. John said this in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." Paul wrote this about Jesus in Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him." Jesus is the only begotten Son. Of all the sons and daughters of God that have come to God through the blood of Christ, there is only one begotten Son. There is only one who is the co-eternal, consubstantial of the substance of the life of God, and that is Jesus Christ. But the second definition of the word begotten is this: pertaining to be the only one of his kind or class, unique in kind. There is no other son like Jesus. There is no other child of God like Jesus. John said this in John 1:14, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." The only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. In that same chapter, the 18th verse, "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is Himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made Him known." Jesus said this in John 3:18, "Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." And then John later writes in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, "This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him." There is only one truly begotten Son. And so when Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son," He is placing the premium value. He is saying to Nicodemus, you need to know the value that God has placed upon mankind. That God did not just send an angel. God did not send Michael or Gabriel. God did not send some celestial being to come to earth. God sent His only one and only begotten Son. God sent all of Himself that He could possibly send by sending His Son Jesus. As the one and only Son, as the only begotten of the Father, that also means that He is the one and only Savior. We live in a world that says there are a variety of ways. There are a variety of roads. There are a variety of paths. There are a variety of means that you can take to become a better person to God. You just follow the light. Whatever that light might be, you follow that light. The Scripture says explicitly, there is only one way. There is only one life. There is only one truth. There is only one begotten of the Father. Jesus said this in John 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Peter said this in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, there is no other way. The Apostle Peter preached, there is no other way. Paul wrote to the church and said, there is no other way. And even though we live in a world that tells us there are a variety of ways, and even though we live in a nation that seems to be saying there are a variety of gods and a variety of ways, and you can worship whomever you want and however you want, it doesn't matter, this is just you. Jesus still stands and says, as the only begotten Son of the Father, that there is only one way. It is not through good works. It is not through joining the church. It is not through being a good person. It is not through being kind and generous and compassionate. It is none of those things. In fact, the prophet Isaiah said that all of our righteousness, all of our goodness, all the good deeds that we do are like filthy rags in God's sight. There is only one way. There is only one truth. There is only one life. There is only one and only begotten of the Father, and that is Jesus Christ. C.S. Lewis said this about the incarnation of Christ, and I quote, "The Son of God became a man that men might become sons of God." The Son of God became a man so that men might become sons of God. What a glorious exchange occurred at Calvary. God's only begotten Son. God's only begotten Son died on the cross so that you and I, who had no rights to relationship with God, could become sons and daughters of God. That's why we come to this altar. It's why we take the elements of communion. It is not a religious ceremony. It is not a checklist that we mark off. It is not something we do because we're Methodist and we do this. We don't do this because John Wesley endorsed it and encouraged it. We don't do this because the Book of Discipline says you're supposed to do this. We come to this table. We come to this altar. We come and kneel before the cross of Christ, acknowledging that Jesus Christ is the one, the only begotten of the Father. that He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. It is here that we take the elements of communion in our hand. We take the broken bread and the cup. It is here that we pause, that we kneel, that we ponder the love of God and what God did for us in and through His Son Jesus. It is here that we give thanks and we accept by faith that we are now sons and daughters of God because we have come and said, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Live in my life. Establish the kingdom of God in my life. Make me into a child of God. And we rejoice in the full pardon of all of our sins. I think of the songwriter who sang, who wrote, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Is your name written in glory? Have you acknowledged that Jesus Christ is more than just a religious figure? He's more than just someone who lived a good, righteous life? Have you acknowledged in your own life that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior? And there was only one Savior available who could wash away my sins. Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father. I want to tell you today, it takes more than going through a class. It takes more than signing a card. It takes more than joining a church. It takes more than being a good person. It takes the acknowledgement and the realization that without Jesus, I am of all sinners most wicked. That He is my only hope. That He is my only source. That He is my only salvation. And if you have not done that yet in your life, I would encourage you and urge you and plead with you today before you walk out the doors of this building. Let your heart kneel before Him. And in however you want to word it, but Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Save me. Be my Savior. And let today, this Sunday, August 14th of 2022, be a day that you can look back on one day and say, oh, I remember Jesus. I remember when Jesus washed my sins away. I remember when Jesus came into my heart. I remember when Jesus changed my life. And I remember when the only begotten Son made me a child of God. Let's pray. Father, we acknowledge Jesus Christ today as the only begotten of the Father. That there is no other name given under heaven whereby we might be saved except the name of Jesus. Not the name of a church, not being a good person, not living a good life. Lord, there is only one name. It's the name of Your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray today as we prepare our hearts to come to this table, to take the elements of communion, the bread that symbolizes the broken body, the cup that represents the shed blood, that we too would acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father. And that all that we are, any good that emanates from our lives, is because of Jesus, because of what He did on the cross. Father, your word says that there's coming a day in which men will stand before you and say, look at all the things we did. Look at all the good deeds we performed. Look at all the mighty acts that we were a part of. And they will hear your son say, depart from me. I never knew you. Lord, may we not trust in any other name and in any other than the name of Jesus and in any other act other than the cross of Calvary. Today we acknowledge that our trust and our confidence and our hope is in you. In Jesus' name.